The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And fulfillment are pretty big words. Those are pretty big words. Heavy, heavy words. Things that we want. I want to be both fulfilled and I want to be content. I want to be a contented person. And I like to buy stuff. I like packages arriving at my house. I think you could probably blame this all on Santa. Asking for something, waiting for it, anticipating its arrival, and being so excited for it to be yours, to be mine, to hold it in my hands. And I came to the realization recently that Jeff Bezos is, in fact, Santa Claus. Think about it. He can just show up at your house, and he brings you toys and presents and wonderful things, and he is seemingly, in fact, he's way better than Santa, because Santa does it just one day a year. Jeff Bezos is delivering packages to every house in America every single day of the year. So Amazon Claus, that's got a little bit of workshopping to do. Maybe we can throw that in the let's just stop with the Santa Claus and the workshop and the elves references right now. So I was driving past or sitting around, whatever. I saw an Amazon truck drive by recently, and on the outside it says, "Contents may cause happiness." And it was noteworthy enough or attention-worthy enough that I wrote it down. I thought, that is right up my alley right there. That is perfect. And it reminded me, I think it's over 10 years ago at this point, back before Amazon was the ubiquitous force of nature that it is today, sort of just getting started. And I wanted to think about or write about the idea of fulfillment. And so I threw that into my favorite search engine, just fulfillment. And guess what came up? It was not a lot of blog posts or articles about what I as an individual can do in my life to build my life and myself to the point where I feel complete and fulfilled with the things that I'm doing. No, it was all about Amazon's process for getting the thing that I bought into my hands really fast, also known as fulfillment. So not only is Amazon, they've been working to fulfill me for as long as it's been a company. Have they ever actually been able to do that? Maybe, maybe not. So, contents may cause happiness. That's one of the truest things out there. It's one of the truest things I've ever read, because buying shit makes us happy. There's no doubt about it. That makes me happy. Discovering that an item exists in the world that I didn't know even existed, but now I badly need it. Being able to purchase it, to realize that I can afford this thing, I can hit one button, buy now, and then through the wonder that is Amazon, it can arrive at my house and I can be fulfilled. My desire to own the thing can be fulfilled almost immediately. That makes me happy. No two ways about it. The whole process, hitting the button, waiting, anticipating, knowing that it's out for delivery, that it's scheduled, and then I see the little package on my doorstep and I get to grab it and rip it open or open the box, whatever it might be, unpackage the thing that I so badly want to possess. And then I have it. The fulfillment. The possessing. The having and holding. But then the reality sets in. That's just another fucking thing that I own. It's more worthless fucking piece of shit plastic. It's gonna take up time, take up space. Huh, what a bummer. Turns out I'm not fulfilled by that. I was. My needs were met and I experienced a form of fulfillment, but I am not actually fulfilled. It's this greater conversation about happiness versus contentment that I wrote about in my second book, How to Get Good at Money. And I think that you can liken it or boil it down to this. So that ice cream makes me happy. Getting an ice cream cone, licking the ice cream cone makes me happy. Dropping the ice cream on the ground makes me sad. But that baseline, that's contentment. It's how I feel about myself and my life and my circumstances. That's going to go to really what contentment is. Happiness, that goes up and down throughout the course of the day. Sadness, just those emotions, they range. My resting heartbeat, my resting heart rate, that's my level of contentment. And thank God for me anyway, I hope the same for you, that has nothing to do with Amazon or buying things or whatever. But that being said, me establishing myself as morally advanced and really well adjusted, and I'm sure that that's helpful to you. But what I wanted to talk about today is just the whole process of the emotional process that we go through buying things, but then to take it another layer or level to just the idea of conspicuous consumption and how that's happening, and then the impact that that really has on us, because what's the point of the whole thing? And when you stick around to the end of this, you will, I will attempt to knit all of this together with the goal being contentment. And the pursuit of happiness is that standing in the way of maybe a more contented person. And I think all too often that is the reality. Because if we as Americans, and maybe people all over the world, I'm just guessing, because we're just all human beings going through the same human experience, if we were not in bad financial shape, then this wouldn't be a conversation worth having. But because we are as a country in terrible financial shape, and many of us, the majority of us as individuals or family units are in bad financial shape, then this does bear, or it is valid to be having these kinds of thoughts and conversations. And that's what my goal and my desire of all of these is to just cause you to think a little bit. Say, oh, yep, my behavior is, I do some of those things, and is it getting me what I want? And could a small shift actually get me what I actually want? So that's really what I'm interested in doing. So that's what I'm going to do. So what is the trigger? There is a trigger where I realize that I want to buy something. And it could be that something is wrong, so I'm missing, or something broke, so I need a new phone because it broke. Or it could just be, ooh, that is a hot pair of shoes or a really cool jacket, and I really want that because it's trendy. So it's a need or a desire. Recognize that. And it's obviously an emotional thing. I mean, I do everything because of the way that I feel about it. Emotions are what drives much of human behavior. So once we realize that I need this thing, then I go to research where it is that I can get it from. I read some reviews. I go on Amazon or just Google it or whatever. You look at different alternatives, different options. Then you make a decision about, is this something that I actually want to buy? And then I do. And then I buy it. I've got these post-purchase feelings. Sometimes it's buyer's remorse. Sometimes it's giddiness. Sometimes it's joy. Who knows? Then what's the long-term impact of this thing? Well, we're going to forget about it. Well, I suppose that certainly does depend. But early on, it's the newness of a relationship or a new romance or friendship. It's very, very, very exciting. But over time, things level out. So it could just be another item that you throw in your junk drawer, could break. Or it could be something that you really enjoy and you get a lot of use out of. That's obviously very, very, very subjective. But so certainly emotions play a large role in this. The idea of conspicuous consumption, where buying a thing is not about fulfilling a true need or any kind of a long-term desire. It's simply a function of, it can be seeking social status, some kind of validation, getting that dopamine hit that we like so much. We carry around our little dopamine dispensers with us wherever we get. So I get that quick hit when I need it, and I can get that. This thing dispenses dopamine in so many different ways. It's amazing. It's amazing. It can dispense dopamine through social media. I can buy stuff. It can whatever. There's so many different things that it can do for me. So we get this dopamine loop. And when it comes to conspicuous consumption, it starts with our initial desire for validation. So social comparison is one of the big drivers that fuels this. When you see somebody driving a certain kind of a car, wearing a certain kind of shoes, operating a new kind of gadget, there's a trigger. It's envy, it's aspiration. And then my brain takes these observations and signals that if George has this thing, it's going to boost his social value. It's going to make him feel better about himself. It's going to lead me to a temporarily higher emotional state.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
So my desire to be admired, the anticipation I get from thinking about what it's going to feel like when I have that is pretty cool. And then when I actually pull the trigger and I buy the thing, boom, dopamine hit right there. Buy it. Feel good release of dopamine rushes through my body and gives me a little bit of a reward for taking action. Way to go, George. You bought this thing that you didn't even know existed up until a couple of minutes ago, but now it's going to be yours. So it's satisfaction for sure. But that's going to fade quickly. You're going to come back down. You're going to forget about that feeling, or you won't have that feeling anymore because the dopamine will just be absorbed by your body and you will need more because we are crackheads in some form or fashion, some of us more than others, of course. But this dopamine loop, we want it again. It's a drug. We have an affinity for it. Some of us have an addiction to it, but we need to do it again. Okay. I came down. I got the experience. I came down from it. Now I want to go back up. So it might be a short-term fulfillment, but it can lead to long-term regrets, can lead to disappointment, regret, guilt. Oh my God, why did I do that? I blew up my budget again. You get it. We've certainly all been there. I'm not talking out of school like I don't do this or like I've never have done this and I don't do it, because I certainly have and I still do. So it's very human. So as we get used to it, we become accustomed to it, and then the little things just doesn't do it for us anymore. And this is true of everything in life, right? It's true of everything in life. Just kind of numb to it. So I need to up the ante a little bit. Maybe it's more expensive things, flashier, more status-designed items to get that emotional rush. And of course, we're constantly exposed to this kind of stuff. Social media, it's what social media is really designed to do, for goodness sakes. But it's going to lead to that cognitive dissonance and me beating up on myself and not feeling good. And that conflict between, I feel great about this, but I, so it's the emotional high that I get, but then the actual thinking about it. Danny Kahneman talks about this in Thinking Fast and Slow. The fast part of our brain is that emotional response. And then the slow part of our brain is a more logical, reasoned response. Think about when you're at work and you get a crappy email from one of your coworkers and you just hammer on your keyboard and type out a biting email back. Well, if you sleep on it, that's probably a good decision because the next day you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I almost sent this email. So that's the slow part of our brain. Over time, when we're in this dopamine feedback loop of just buying crap, thinking that it's going to give us a certain response, and we do get a response, but it's not that long-term fulfillment response that we're really trying to chase, it's going to stress us out. It's going to lead us to be disillusioned. We might even feel trapped by it. In fact, we might actually be trapped by it because there's a consequence, obviously. We only have so much money. So when I'm making decisions to allocate my finances or my money to one thing, then I can't allocate it to anything else. And that just becomes kind of an unsustainable cycle. And a lot of this is, again, tied to social pressure. So I feel like I need to keep up airs. I need to keep up the appearance that I'm going on awesome vacations or going out to eat or wearing fancy clothes, whatever it is. So now that I've put it out there, I certainly don't want people to think that I'm going backwards. So you get it. So how do we do it? How do we break the loop? And just, I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this because I think it's fairly obvious. You just need to make the decision. It's like, what am I doing? This stuff is not making me happy. I'm trying to paint some kind of a pretty picture for other people, I suppose. What made me happy at first is now just kind of causing me an existential sense of dread. And what the F am I doing here? So thinking it all the way through, getting really clear on these are the things that are actually important to me. This is what really matters to me. This is what is of greatest importance. And those are the things that we should be focusing on. I think foundationally and fundamentally, what I've been talking and thinking a ton about lately is that the whole game is this. You have to know what matters. You have to know what matters and think about it in the context of the six areas that I talk about. Know what matters for your family. Know what matters for your community. Know what matters for your work and your finances. Know what matters for your well-being. Know what matters for your personal development. And then know what matters for your peace of mind. Then once you make decisions about that, we need to treat them as if they are the most important thing. So then we have to know, what do I have to do in service of what matters? And those are the things, whatever it might be, investments, sacrifices, that's what I allocate my most valuable resources to. Your most valuable resources being time, attention, energy, and money. And what we're talking about right now is money. So instead of just getting dragged along by my need for dopamine and my desire for status and recognition or whatever, those are valid. Those are needs that we have, but we want to make sure that they are not ahead of what's really important. So that's why we have to do that work. Say, well, yeah, that shiny new thing is cool. That handbag is cool. Those shoes are cool, whatever. The new gadget is really awesome, and that would make me happy for sure. But I've made the decision that my kids are, or this experience is, or whatever. You've gone through and you've decided what matters the most, and then you're going to allocate your money, your resources, to those things that matter the most. I think that's kind of the unlock here. And when you actually do that and you pursue those things that are of value, that are meaningful, that's how you're going to get that sense of contentment, because you will have made the decision, this is what is of highest value to me, and I'm going to allocate my most valuable resources to those things, and I'm going to consistently do that, and that is what's going to give me that sense of contentment. My resting heart rate is this. And then sure, now that I'm doing what is necessary in service of what matters, now I can buy some crap here and there. It's not going to tip me over the edge. It's not going to blow up my budget or anything like that because I have done the things that are the most important thing. So again, going back to one of the big reasons that we're having this conversation that I'm making this, that we're talking about this is just because we are not doing awesome financially. And recent polls, research indicates or suggests that on average, the average American spends around $18,000 a year on non-essential items. So that's eating out, it's entertainment, it's subscriptions, it's discretionary type purchases. Now, I'm not a monk. I never took a vow of poverty. I'm not telling you to stop doing that. But let's examine that. Let's examine how that money is broken up. But then there's a couple of more. There's another survey that says that about 30% of Americans feel that they overspend on luxury items for themselves. And on average, cutting out just one guilty pleasure a month could save around $100. $97 was the actual number. So around $100 a month right there. And then the second thing is impulse, or rather the third thing, are impulse purchases. And the research there says that the average American makes around 5 impulse purchases per month, coming out to be around $110 a month. So there you go. So there's 3 pretty big numbers. Non-essential items, $18,000 a year. Impulse purchases, $1,300 a year, so $109. And monthly discretionary overspending, $97 a month, so $1,164. So there you go. So we'll round down and then round up. So $1,300 and $1,200 respectively. So big deal, you say? Well, that is a really big deal. That is a really big deal. And maybe not in the moment, but as we expand our horizon or open the aperture, change our perspective a little bit, assuming that you're 30 years old. And this is just an example. I appreciate that you're probably not 30 years old. If you are, amazing. Assuming a 30-year-old, you put $200 a month into an IRA. So that's an individual retirement account. It's a retirement savings vehicle. Put $200 a month in at an 8% rate of return until age 65. How much would you have? Do you know? Obviously, you don't. You'd have $458,000. That is extremely meaningful. That is a extremely meaningful number. What about $300 a month? What about $300 a month? $688,000. Even more meaningful. What about $400? $400 a month from age 30 to 65 at an 8% rate of return, that comes out to almost $1 million. $917,552.99. That's real money right there. All three of those are real money. And so I'm not trying to yuck your yum here. It's just I'm giving you direct evidence of how changes in behaviors can have a profound impact on your overall well-being and your overall peace of mind, and to the whole point of the conversation, your level of contentment. And I think that that'll make you happy. You get to 65 years old, you've saved $500,000 or $688,000 or $917,000. So that's the point. I think that that's comfortable. It's very, very meaningful. A couple $100 goes a long way. It also goes to the power of, you know, the time value of money and compounding and having a good amount of time to save, because those numbers are dramatically different if you're 40, way different if you're 50, and it's pretty much unattainable if you wait until you're 60. So a lot of powerful things there. And it's all coming down to, let's just give it a second thought before I allow myself to just hit buy now or subscribe and save or whatever button I'm hitting on my Amazon app that is allowing the Amazon truck to pull up full of happiness, delivering happiness just as Santa does once a year. But Jeff Bezos does it 365 days a year, buddy. No days off. None. Simple allocation, reallocation might make all the difference. And at the end of the day, what are we trying to do here? We're all trying to do our part by doing are best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.